Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Rajadhani Tata Sadbhur Sadbhut Sarva Yadhava Bhugujam Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sannihito Hari Rajadhani Tathasadbhut Sarva Yadhava Bhubhujam Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sannihito Hari Rajadhani,
Rajadhani,
the capital.
Capital.
Tata, from that time.
Sa,
the country and the city.
The country and the city.
Known as Mathura. Abhut, became. Sarvayadhava Bhubhujam. Of all the kings who appeared in the Yadu dynasty. Mathura, the place known as Mathura. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yatra,
wherein. Nityam,
eternally.
Sannihita, intimately connected. Living eternally.
Hari,
the Lord,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation. Formerly, Surasena, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, had gone to live in the city of Mathura, where he enjoyed the places known as Mathura and Surasena. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. Purport. It is understood that Mathura city is the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. It is not an ordinary material city, for it is eternally connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan is within the jurisdiction of Mathura, and it still continues to exist. Because Mathura and Vrindavan are intimately connected with Krishna eternally, it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam nagacchati. At present, the place known as Vrindavan in the district of Mathura continues its position as a transcendental place. And certainly anyone who goes there becomes transcendentally purified. Navadvip Dham is also intimately connected with Vrajabhumi. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Sri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeva Jane Chintamani Tarahoi Vrajabhumi Vas. Vrajabhumi refers to Mathura Vrindavan, and Gaura Mandala Bhumi indicates Navadvip. These two places are non-different. Therefore, anyone living in Navadvip Dham, knowing Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality, lives in Vrajabhumi, Mathura Vrindavan. The Lord has made it convenient for the conditioned souls to live in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip, and thus be directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow, but if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura, or Navadvip for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendental importance of Mathura Vrindavan and Navadvip Dham. Anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus the words Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sannihito Hari are particularly important. A devotee should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with this place. Therefore, although Mathura and Vrindavan are situated on this planet Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. So the importance here of the living in the holy Dham, because the Lord is always present there, and the non-difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur, then is given in this verse. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means Krishna wants to understand what it means to serve, because he is the enjoyer. Means all of the expansions of Godhead know how to serve. They understand this mood. But Krishna himself is only served. Means he serves his devotees, but he is doing that in the mood of, as the enjoyer, to expand his enjoyment. But the actual taste of what it means to be subservient to, to be the one who is enjoyed, then that he is not tasting. Even Balaram and the other expansions will taste this, but he won't taste this. So to understand this, then he has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so since the purpose is not to change place, it just means change the situation, is to change which side of the relationship he is tasting. In other words, instead of being the enjoyer, he becomes the enjoyed. But what he wants to taste as the enjoyed is that situation in which the enjoyer is naturally situated. So that means Vrindavan. Does this make sense? Means you have Vrindavan. In Vrindavan you have Krishna and you have Radharani. And Krishna is enjoying being the supreme enjoyer. And Radharani is enjoying being the supreme servant. Krishna wants to know what is the taste of being the supreme servant. So he wants to switch places. So naturally that means to switch places doesn't mean you change the situation in which you're going to taste that. Right? It means if Krishna wants to taste the mood of service in Braj, then he has to stay in Braj to do that. Just he's switching the place with his devotee. That's all. But this place remains the same. But his position changes. Does that make sense? Therefore, then Vrindavan, Mayapur or Navadvip then has to be non-different from Vrindavan. Otherwise, how you get the same flavor? You'll get a different flavor. Right? You change the situation, the flavor changes. Right? You get one particular taste in a particular situation. You change the situation, the taste changes. Right? Many times you must find this, that we were in a situation and, you know, so many elements were there and then it was a very nice experience. So we try to replicate that experience somewhere else. So if we don't establish all those elements in the other place, we won't get the same, you know, experience. The experience will be different. You know, something may be similar, but something will be different. So that means if he wants to get the same taste, it has to be the same place. Completely non-different. There can't be a difference. Only because he's taking the mood of servant, then therefore, since he's the one that's enjoying being the servant, then it centers around that. But it's the same place. Just you change some aspects of it to take that, so that he can take that mood. Right. So Navadvip therefore is non-different from Vrindavan. So that is the important point on that side that is made here. Then the another aspect then is that living in the holy Dham then is a very important thing. by living in the holy Dham, then one is actually in touch with Krishna. We may understand it or not, just like we go into the temple. We're in the temple, then we're in touch with Krishna. Like that. We may understand it or not. Right? You see so many people come in and they're yelling and screaming and trying to get their whole party together and pointing here and there and moving around. Who knows if they ever even notice the deities there? More than 1 second to go like this and yelling and screaming again to get all their friends and relatives. But that they've come there, they come in front of, they're in the Lord's place, so the place has effect. If you appreciate it, then the effect is increased. But even if you don't appreciate it, the effect is there. That you've come into the Lord's place, the effect is there. It actually has some effect. Like someone is in the middle of the city will have some effect on him. You take the same person, put him in the country will have some effect on him. Even though his mind will basically stay the same. So anything connected with the Lord, that is beneficial. So that little bit of effect, then that is very great, because this little bit is eternal. Right? The effect of eternality is eternal, while the effect of the mundane is temporary. So you may have an ocean of the material world, but that can be offset by just a fraction of a portion of a drop of the spiritual realm. Because the spiritual realm is real, while the material world is temporary, it's illusory, right? You can have a person standing there, right? And then the sun may be very low on the horizon, so their shadow is, 200 feet long. But that shadow in no way kind of like overwhelms the situation. You can't talk to the person because you have this 200-foot shadow looming there. No, you don't even notice the shadow. Who cares? You're talking to the person. So the same way, it's just a slight amount of the spiritual, anything connected with Krishna, that has substance. While you can have the whole material existence, it has no substance, no meaning. Therefore, living in the Dham, even if one's just gaining a little bit from it, then that effect is very powerful. So then Prabhupada's making this point, that it's very special. And therefore, some people make the vow to never leave the Dham. So Prabhupada says, it's nice, it's good. Of all vows, and it's a very nice vow. But if one is leaving for service, then one actually doesn't leave the Dham, because then the Dham goes with you. But as you remember it, then that effect is more. And as you don't, effect will be less. But if you live here, then whether you remember or not, effect is there. Then as you remember, then it's greatly increased. But in any case, service to Krishna. The main point is to be in touch with Krishna. Then a very another important point then is if one understands that this place is Vrindavan, right? Then you live in Vrindavan. This is a subtle point, and we will, how you say. With great caution, we will say this next point. Those who live in Vrindavan don't appreciate Navadvipa, don't actually live in Vrindavan. If they're born there, that's another thing. But if they're going there, they don't actually live there. Because in this age, access to Vrindavan is only through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those who understand Navadvipa is non-different, then whether they're living here or in Vrindavan, they're in Vrindavan. Because it's the same place. Flavor is a little different, but the place is the same. This is important. Some tend to make too much of a distinction between the two places. Like, oh, there's Navadvipa and then there's Vrindavan. The Vrindavan is, Mayapur is different. No, it's not different. It's the same place. Just because of the pastimes, then there's an external flavor. Or there's a particular flavor for the pastime, because the mood is audarya. The Vrindavan is madhurya, but unless you're on the pure platform, how you'll experience that madhurya, how you'll understand it. But Navadvipa then has the mood of audarya. And so that very easily we can be uplifted with. Then that will bring you, so Navadvipa will actually bring you to understand Vrindavan, because it is Vrindavan. But the mood of Navadvipa is mercy, while the mood of Vrindavan is Vrindavan. Right? The mood of Vrindavan is, this is Vrindavan, you're up to the standard, great, you're not up to the standard, you got trouble. While in Navadvip, is, this is Vrindavan, but if you're not up to the standard, if the sincerity is there, then they will bring you up to that platform. Then you will be in Vrindavan. So therefore, here, offenses are taken, our consideration is different. While in Vrindavan, then the offenses made are offense. Well, here, there may be some consideration. Of course, because it is Vrindavan, one never takes advantage. This is also very important. In relationships, you never take advantage of someone. As soon as you take advantage, it's painful, because they're doing something for you, there's supposed to be reciprocation, but if you're only taking and not giving, then there will be some bad feeling. One will feel let down. So therefore, if one doesn't appreciate that kindness of the Dham, and one takes advantage of that, then the Dham will feel displeased, something let down. And then if the Dham feels let down, then Nityananda will feel let down, because the Dham is his wife. And then if he doesn't feel satisfied, you're not going to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Therefore, one should be always very conscious that this is the Dham, and one should always try to take advantage of that by seeing that one's service is going nicely, one is respecting the Dham, one is understanding the transcendental principles. One is not, one understands one's in a different place. So in other words, one tries to be at one's best. Natural, relaxed, but at one's best. Well, somewhere else, one should anyway try to be at one's best, but if not, the place itself's not going to get upset. If you're sitting there in New York and you're not acting your best, then Manhattan Island probably won't feel offended. Right? Like that. But your own spiritual life, then that's another consideration. But if you're here and not trying, then the Dham may feel, that something. If it is unconscious, that's another thing. Just like the mother doesn't mind the offenses of the child. But if the child is conscious, then that's not tolerated like that. So that's there. So these points are brought out, is that Mathura becomes special, and Navadvip, because it's Krishna's place, this is where Krishna stays, so then by being here, one is in contact with Krishna. And so, if one appreciates that, then one's benefits are increased greatly. Any questions on this? Or comments? Or otherwise?
Is Eka Chakra Dham also the same as Vrindavan?
Is Eka Chakra Dham the same as Vrindavan? It's Dham, a slightly different flavor, because there'll be some aspect of it will be like Vrindavan, but it is a mix. See, here, I think it depends upon who's present. So Nityananda Prabhu is present there, but like the mood of the parents. See, there's so many parents involved that are parents of the Lord. And in the Navadvip Leela, that's the special thing, is everybody who is involved in Krishna's pastimes are involved. It means that any of the avatars are involved in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Because it's the one avatar that anyone, no matter what is their destination in the spiritual world, they can relate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So then you'll get a variety of the parental rasa there. Ones that may not be manifest in the Navadvip, like that. But basically speaking, it's non-different, because Nityananda is there, who is Balaram. And Balaram appears both in Mathura and in Vrindavan. So, but it will have kind of both of those, probably a touch of both of the flavors. But otherwise it is Vrindavan.
Krishna before taking his formal mantra, he does not understand the mood of enjoyment, the mood of
service. Oh, Krishna knows everything. How does he not understand the mood of enjoyment? Because knowing everything means you have to be the enjoyer. You understand? The enjoyer means everything comes to you. Right? So Krishna is the end of the line. Right? Means everything that there is in the cosmic creation stems from him. Therefore, everything is known to him. Right? So that if everything is known to him, it's going out. Understand? Being the enjoyed means you're on the other side and it's coming in. You understand? So that he doesn't understand. So therefore he comes as a devotee to understand what it's like on that side, to taste the energy, the attention going this way. Right? He tastes what it is, you know, from his perspective, but the other side. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
He may understand, but he wants to taste it.
That's a very important point. Understanding is one thing, tasting is another. Just like we understand that you know, the rasgulla is very nice. You know, everybody says it's nice and it's sweet, and, but you want to taste it, right? You know, if we had a big feast, everyone comes, sits in the prasad hall. Then somebody who's a very good orator stands up and then describes this fabulous feast. And then everybody sits there and goes, wonderful. And then afterwards they all go, Hari Bol, and go out. Right? So understanding is one thing. Knowledge has its limit. Knowledge is actually only for the purpose of rasa. See, if one is ignorant and one doesn't know how to interact, then there's no taste at all. In fact, it may be a negative experience. So one has knowledge so that one knows properly how to act. Right? But once one has taste, one doesn't have to have the knowledge. One acts automatically. Right, yeah. So therefore, knowledge has its limit. That's why we see Krishna, even though he knows everything, then he puts himself under the yoga maya so that he doesn't know and he just tastes. Like that. Because tasting means, if you look at it, everybody is working very hard in this world simply for taste. It's always projected that it's something else. Money, you know, position, influence, you know, family life, you know, nice clothes, nice food, whatever it is like that. But why would one want those things? Is the thing itself what's important? Right? If you have a nice house, nice car, nice everything, and there's absolutely not one other person around, can you actually enjoy it? No. The enjoyment is sharing that with others. Right? So actually, knowledge is so that you can be happy. Right? Possessions are so you can be happy. So therefore, rasa is the most important. Problem is we have such a taste for material rasa, which is illusory, and we suffer, when we're supposed to have taste for spiritual rasa. So we can only so first of all, intelligence means to distinguish. Now you have two things. Intelligence tells the difference. Mind doesn't bother; it just takes what it wants and leaves everything else. Right. So it's taken the material and left the spiritual. So by intelligence, first we see there is material and there's spiritual. And material, then, by so many, you know, definitions, is inferior. Right? We see as we go for something, and then the taste lessens each time we deal with it. And eventually it comes around to be distress. Right? And how much happiness we're getting, that much distress we're getting also. So, there's something wrong here, because we want to eternally be happy, every living entity. So there's something wrong. So therefore, by intelligence, you can distinguish this is material, which is faulty, and then spiritual doesn't have these faults. Then we see the pastimes of those in the spiritual world. We see they're happy. We can get convinced that they're happy. We can see those who deal in the material world suffer, and we look around us, and it's, you know, quite convincing. You know, but until we have that faith in the spiritual, just being convinced that the material world is useless is not enough. That'll take us to the Brahman platform. So that brings us up to the impersonalist or voidist platform. This place is trouble, but we don't have faith in the spiritual. Right? That's why the spiritual path has two aspects. One is becoming attached to Krishna, so you want to go there. And the other is to become detached from Maya, which is knowledge. So the knowledge is useful to get you detached from something improper and to understand what is proper. But to taste that, then the knowledge is secondary. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the... Something can answer.
I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on how the palm is the rifle of Nityananda Prabhu. The same principle is applied in all the dharmas, and this one is particularly in my world.
Yeah. The Dham here is Janavadevi. So Janavadevi is one of the two wives of Nityananda Prabhu. So Janava and Vasudha. Like that. So Janavadevi, she is the Dham. And Vasudha, I would say, would be the other aspects of the, you know, basically the Yoga Maya. That aspect of it. So one has to, you know, that are within his jurisdiction. See, because when Krishna expands, Balaram is non-different from him. At the same time, it's because he has expanded from him, then everything's coming to him, but then from he has that relationship to Krishna. So he has both that of the Lord and of enjoying. So that aspect of that service then will be reflected in his performance of duties. So the Krishna specifically deals with the Ladini potency, and Balaram specifically deals with the Samvit and Sandini potencies. So then in this way, then it appears from this, then he has two wives. Right? So like when you get to Vaikuntha, it's Bhu and Nila. You have Shri, Bhu and Nila. Right? Shri is the internal potency, Bhu is the chit potency, and Nila is the Sandini potency. So both of these will be there. So the Bhu is the Dham, but then there's all the arrangements on top of the Dham, right? All the trees and everything else, the existence that the Dham sits on, right? The Dham has to be situated somewhere. Something has to hold it up. So that's the Sandini potency. That's existence. The Dham is then the place where everything happens. And then on top of the Dham, then you have all the trees, the devotees, the different whatever is around. So the focus there becomes the Dham, but it's being supported above and below by the Sandini potency. So then those are the two wives of Nityananda. So they manifest here as wives. In Vrindavan, they don't, because Krishna is the prominent there. So then there, the Dham is Ananga. And so then there's no connection like that with Balaram. Like that. Though is Balaram's potency. Like that. It takes a different mood. So sometimes these internal potencies will be in the mood, they'll be celibate, or sometimes they'll not be celibate. You know, sometimes they'll be married, sometimes not. You know, it just depends upon what is the best arrangement for the flavor of that pastime. Like Yoga Maya in Vrindavan is an old, she takes the form of an old lady. She's Sandipani Muni's mother. Right? Like that. So Krishna's guru's mother. Like that. But in Dwarka, she takes the form of Subhadra. She's Krishna's and Balaram's sister. Like that. So depending upon what is the pastime, she'll take different. So everybody has different forms. Just like Balaram is older than Krishna, but in Ramlila, he's younger than Krishna. So there's always these things. Whatever is best for tasting that particular flavor, then you make subtle adjustments. You know? So it's just like, depending upon what you're eating, then you'll have different arrangements for serving it. You know, whether it's on a plate or in a bowl. Like if you want to take rice and sabji, you know, plate's very nice. But if you want to take milk and mudi, a plate's not very good, you know? Then a bowl is better. So, but the principle is that there's something that holds what you're eating. So it takes different form depending upon what you're eating or what the situation is. like that. But the principle is always the same. So it's the same Shakti, just it takes a different flavor for each pastime. Therefore, Prabhupada makes a point is that we don't make so much distinction because there's subtle flavors, differences, you know, between Krishna and Vishnu. The difference is in flavor, otherwise the same person. You know, it's just like the man when he goes to the office, then things are more formal. When he's at the home, it's more intimate. It's the same person. But in that intimate environment, then they all wear their suit and ties and sit at desks and chairs and they have their board meetings and they do all those things and all the yes sir, no sirs and all these things. But at home, they don't do like that. They sit around and, you know, sit comfortably, while at the office they sit formally. You know, so for us, one person in the same form does these two, and it's temporary, each manifestation. You're at home only some of the time, you're only off office so much of the time. But Krishna, he expands, so he's always in the office and always at home. So he can always taste both of those. So then all of his relatives and friends and associates at home then match that environment. And then at the office, then all those associates match that environment. And he tastes both of those eternally, same person. Because there's a difference in mood, therefore we make differences. So Krishna in Vrindavan, it's more sweet and more intimate than Krishna in Vaikuntha. And to manifest that mood, less of his personality has to be manifest. Right? To sit at the office, you only manifest part of your personality. But at home, you manifest a broader range of your personality. Right? Because it's more intimate, so more is known and more is revealed. Does that make some sense?
Is it the same principle applicable to all the four dhammas, or each one has its strong differences?
It means the same principle is there in all the dhammas, but the mood is different. So in Vrindavan, then it's madhurya, is the sweetness. That's the prominent feature, or it makes it special. In Navadvipa, then it's audarya, which is mercy. Then in Dwarka, or let's say Ayodhya, then it is maryada. The rules and regulations are very nicely followed. That's where the taste lies. Right? It means here it lies in the kindness, you know, mercy. In Vrindavan it lies in the sweetness. In Ayodhya it lies in the following of the religious principles. So the religious principles being followed are the medium of taste. You know, Dwarka is, you know, a little bit, has a little a mix of the flavors because it's kind of in between. It's in between Ayodhya and Vrindavan. So we'll have both. There is some sweetness there, but at the same time there is the religious principles. Therefore, in a very pleasant atmosphere, they all sit around in the, what is it, Sudharma assembly hall and discuss how to manage the kingdom, and things are done according to the rules and regulations, but there's a sweetness that's there that's not there in Ayodhya. Like that, but it's not sweet like Vrindavan. Therefore, Dwarka is said to be perfect. Mathura is more perfect because the sweetness is more there. The intimacy is more, but Vrindavan is most perfect as it's the more. You know? In Purushottam Kshetra, then you have the feeling of separation. Like that. Because the mood is that of Dwarka. Right? The worship is of Dwarka and that, and it's Krishna in Dwarka. But Krishna is not in Dwarka. It's Dwarka Krishna, but not in Dwarka. It's Dwarka Krishna in Kurukshetra. Right? And so Purushottam Kshetra is that place where the Brajavasis meet the Dwarkavasis. And that's Kurukshetra. Right? So that's why it's situated in two different places. It's because the Dwarkavasis have gone to Kurukshetra, the Brajavasis have gone to Kurukshetra. So same persons, but the problem is because it's your meeting of two completely different moods, they can't interact. Right? They can't interact. It's stuck in between. So then that creates it means someone who deals formally, even in an intimate environment, can deal formally. But someone who's used to dealing intimately can't deal intimately in an informal environment. So the taste, the Dwarkavasis won't notice any difference. Right? So they go to Kurukshetra, they're in Dwarka, there's no difference for them. But for the Rajavasis, there's a difference. So that taste, then, is the higher taste of separation. Because Lord Chaitanya tastes Vrindavan here, what that mood is, and then there's some separation, but he's in Vrindavan. So the separation is there, but it's not so great. Right? It means Radha and Krishna are both in Vrindavan, but they're not together at that time. Krishna is in his place, she's in her place. Separation is there, but the hope of meeting is very natural. Right? They should meet, it's just a matter of time. They just have to wait until the evening or the morning or whenever is the proper time. But when Krishna has gone from Vrindavan and he lives in Dwarka or Mathura, then the hope of meeting doesn't exist. Right? So the separation takes on a stronger, deeper flavor. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya then at one point goes to Puri to taste that separation, because here it is Vrindavan, so the separation is there, but it is Krishna, so therefore it's not the same. But you go there, then Krishna is Dwarka Krishna sitting there. So then Lord Chaitanya can see Dwarka Krishna. So then that creates the greatest amount of separation. So therefore that is the main flavor there, is that of separation of Vipalam. So each dham has its unique flavor that the Lord enjoys. So they're all perfect, and they're all have their place for what he tastes. Does that make sense?
You say
it's
so bad to say Vrindavan is not different from Melody. In this time, some devotees get in accidents.
Uh-huh.
And what happened with the devotees? Which place go?
Which place do they go if someone has an accident?
Accident, dead.
But it means, is it?
Depart.
Oh, okay. So I mean, that's just in general, or only if it's an accident, or?
Accident, then in the simple level, what happened with these devotees?
Oh. You serious people? The main principle is that one, whatever one thinks of, that's where one goes. Because the principle is Krishna does not want to impose upon us a situation we're not going to appreciate. You understand? Does that make sense? It means Krishna would like to see us happy, right? But we have, see, there is our idea of what is happiness, and there's Krishna's idea of what is happiness. So as long as we're very fixed in our idea of happiness, Krishna's not going to disturb that. But when we are then interested in his idea of happiness, then we'll be happy with what Krishna arranges. You understand? Means the idea that if we just go to the spiritual world, we'll be happy, is true as long as we want to go there. Right? Like you say, Danakasura. So is he happy in Vrindavan? With Krishna there and Krishna's associates? He likes Vrindavan if there's no Krishna and no Krishna's associates, right? He sits in Talavan and enjoys the place and lords it over there and lets nobody else come in, not even a bird, right? Then it's great. Then the spiritual world is fabulous. So having the facilities of the spiritual world without Krishna or his associates or his pastimes, that's great for Danakasura. But as soon as you add Krishna and Balaram into it and all his associates, then it's a bit of a problem for Danakasura. Right? Right? Putana came to the spiritual world. You know, was she happy there? No. She didn't even notice it's the spiritual world. You know, neither Aristasura or Keshi demon or Kaliya or... So the point is means you go there, you have to want to be there. You understand? So if you think of Krishna, it means That's where you're taking shelter. That means you want to be there. But if you think of something else, you think of your mommy or something, then you'll, you know, go to mommy loka. Right? It means there are all these places Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions. You think of your brother, you go to brother's local place. You could think of, you know, family, you go to that place. You think of father or mother. There's all these places you can go to taste that flavor. Like that. So you have to want Krishna. Right? Then you go to Krishna. Right? But Navadvip is so merciful that so much of the situation, everything, then makes it one more in, you know, how should I say, because the offenses aren't taken so seriously, therefore it is easier to think of Krishna. When Vrindavan is, they're taken more seriously, therefore one gets sidetracked by one's offenses much more easily. So that's the advantage here. But see, is now there's two ways you can look at this. Is for yourself and for others. Right? For yourself, then you have to look at it that unless I'm Krishna conscious, I'm not going anywhere. Right? And for others, then you tend to, you know, someone dies in the Dham, they've done so much service, these things, and naturally there's a good chance they thought of Krishna. If not, Krishna is in any case taking care of them. And then very quickly they will come to Krishna. You understand? But you have to be very careful that you don't switch these two, which is generally the materialistic viewpoint. For yourself, you're very liberal. Just because I'm here, whatever happens, I'll go back to Godhead. And that guy, you know, who knows where he's going? You know, he did this, he did that, he did this, you know. So one has to know what is the culture. So that's the culture. Right? The culture is for oneself, one's strict. If I don't remember Krishna, you know, I'm not going back to Godhead. Therefore, I have to try to arrange my life that I remember Krishna at every moment. But for someone else, then you're liberal. You know, they're in the Dham, they've done so much service, all these different things, they themselves are good sadhana, whatever it is. Nice situation, so there's a good chance. But whatever it is, ultimately it's up to them. Prabhupada, in letters where they would write Prabhupada, did this devotee go back to, he would say, remember Krishna, they go back to Godhead. And if they don't, then they'll, you know, go to the heavenly planets or some situation, and then very shortly come back, take birth in the family of devotees, continue like this. Point is once one's taken up service, then Krishna is in control. But we have our desires, and if their desires aren't focused towards Krishna, then it's a difficulty. So no matter if you remember Krishna, that's all it takes. But generally, the practice, that means you will remember what you're practiced at, what for you is shelter. You understand? In a difficult situation, you want to take shelter of something. So whatever to you is conceived as the most important shelter, that's where you're going to go. Right? Otherwise, you think of something else, you know? Like that. Is that okay? Like that. Else? Yeah.
I mean, on this level, earlier it was saying about the Lord Chaitanya, when he has the devotee here, the same Krishna, and he thanks him, and it's kind of like he's enjoying it, because I'm tasting and enjoying him. But I would just ask, because some devotees chant this mantra, Nadi Bihari
Gaurahi.
Nadi Bihari Gaurahi.
Nadi Bihari means he's the enjoyer, but at the same time is one has to be careful of the flavor. See, Prabhupada's given a certain mantra. So many mantras are there. So many can be chanted. They bona fide or not bona fide. Well, it's not bona fide, of course, but those are bona fide. So many mantras are there. But we've been given specific mantras for our specific place where we want to go. Because the idea is do we want to go back to Godhead and be in that place with Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, and our previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami? Do we want to be at that spot? Or are we happy to be at some other spot? You know what I'm saying? That is the question. So, depending on what has been given to us, generally we have a tendency to stick to that. The locals here may have so many mantras, the locals in Vrindavan may have so many mantras. That's between them and Krishna. We have what we've been given. So for us, Lord Chaitanya's Nadia Bihari is not very important. You could read the songs of our acharyas and see what they say. If they say Nadia Bihari, okay. They don't, then maybe there's a reason they don't. Because Lord Chaitanya has come as the enjoyer. I mean, to be enjoyed. Of course, it gives a taste, but it's an aftertaste. Understand? Means you serve somebody, when they're happy, you're happy. That's different from being served and being happy. It's different. This is important. This is why so much emphasis is put in our philosophy on getting rid of impersonalism. Because to not be able to tell the difference is impersonalism. So we have to be able to tell the difference. So these subtleties of flavor make the difference, that's all. Otherwise, Krishna and Dwarka and Krishna and Vrindavan look exactly the same. Except for, he puts on the crowns and this and that. But physically, he looks exactly the same. Like that. So if that's good enough, then these fine details aren't so important. But the point is to get into Braj, it's a razor's edge. And over some mantra, you don't want to miss the boat. Therefore, it's not so important to get into... We have enough mantras. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra already contains whatever there is. Panchatattva Mantra already contains. Our bhajans already contain. So we should be very careful like that. It means he's enjoying, but when he's in the mood of enjoyer, then he's the Supreme Lord. Which in Navadvipa he does. He is. Right? But that's not why Krishna came here. He came here to taste the mood of his servants. He is the Lord. Therefore, so many of his devotees aren't Braja devotees. So therefore, Murari Gupta, these others, he interacts with them on their level. Right? He interacts with them according to their rasa. And some of them can see both, Advaitacharya or Nityananda, because they're also the Supreme Lord. So you have a variety of rasas there that is experienced in Navadvipa. So therefore, the younger, then there's more of these things. He's the Supreme Lord. He goes down to the Ganga and he tells the girls, he takes all the offerings and says, you offer this to me, then I will give you good husbands. Like that. He's saying, hey, get out of here. We're worshipping Shiva, Like that. So these things. But as things go, with time, the other flavor manifests more. So that aspect is there in Navadvipa. He is both the Supreme Lord. I mean, he is Krishna, he is enjoying. Same time, he does take the mood of Radharani and is the enjoyed. When he goes to Puri, then it's fully in that mood. Right? Because the devotees want to see him as the enjoyer, therefore we worship him, the Gaudiyas worship him, as a grihastha, because then more facilities is there for him. But his internal mood there of worshipping Radharani, that's his mood. But externally they like to create the facilities. But when you say Nadia Bihari, that's a mood, that's not the facilities. So one has to be careful, because there is a branch of Apasampradaya, it's called the Gauranga Nagaris. And Nagar means enjoyer. So Gauranga Nagari means those who worship Lord Chaitanya as the enjoyer. He is Krishna. And Garadhar is Radharani. And so therefore Krishna, Gauranga and Garadhar get together as Radha and Krishna. He enjoys Garadhar as Krishna enjoys Radharani. And Garadhar like this. So even amongst the Sahajiyas, they stay away from these guys. Even the Sahajas consider these guys bogus. Like that. So, of all the Upasampradayas, these are like some of the most looked down upon. Because they completely missed the whole point of Lord Chaitanya coming to Navadvipa. He may be what he wants, but he didn't come for that. He came to be enjoyed, to taste that mood. So that's the point. So it's a. So that's that. Is that okay? Okay. So I think we'll end. It's getting late. We should end. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Salavita Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanita Gaura Premanaki.